The guys behind the From Corner to Corner podcast are diving deep into Montgomery County High School sports with the Community Trust Bank Coach's Corner. Join us as we talk local high school athletics with your local coaches. Whether you're a student athlete or a screaming fan, this is the place to turn to get the inside scoop before the next big game. And now, it's time for the show with Sean Kuiper, Neil Payne, Adam Muncy, and Wes Crouch.
And we're live from the Community Trust Bank Studio here on North Maysville. Sean has to put North there because he was just calling it Maysville. You've lived here long enough to know this is North Maysville. This is the From Corner to Corner Coach's Corner presented by Community Trust Bank. Thank you for joining us live on Facebook and YouTube. Before we get started, we would like to take a moment and thank our sponsors who make all this happen. Community Trust Bank, Kim Soft, who host our Athlete of the Week. I guess they sponsor it. They don't necessarily host it. We host it, don't we?
We host it.
Yeah, sorry.
They sponsor
it. Tutu's Sweet Treats. They sponsor our Dog of the Week. CRC Renovations. Kentucky Realty Group. Jacobs Auto Body. Kellwell Commissary and Simply Secure. They are our sponsor of our road show. And then Brent Wee Hunts, Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, sponsor of the Athlete of the Month program in Menifee County. While you're watching, go on and hit that like button, share button, smash it out there so everybody can watch us. Joining us tonight is the Montgomery County Lady Indians basketball coach, Coach Dustin High, with players Bailey Warner and Sophie Fouch. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thank you. Woo!
All right, Coach, we'll just jump right in. Season wrapped up a couple weeks ago. Give us a rundown of the season. Tell recap it for us.
Well, coming into the season, we had a very difficult schedule and wanted to make sure that we were tested throughout, and we definitely had that. This group face as much or more adversity than any group that I've been a part of.
Okay.
There were different factors throughout the year, and these two, along with two of our seniors and Savannah Jarvis, and then you go down the line to Laura Lee Orison and Reagan Mays, and then Nina Dunn, Lexus White, and Parker Ann Rout, that pretty much rounded out our varsity. And they kept plugging and kept showing up every day with a smile on their face. And even some days that they didn't have smiles on their faces, they did a great job of putting the work in and putting the time in. And we were fortunate to carve out a 20-win season with the schedule that we had, and had some big wins along the way. And for this group to win 20 games with the season that we had and the different lineups and different rosters and different things that came up throughout the year was a special season. It would have been really easy for them to pack it in and throw their hands up and just go through the motions and finish out the year, but they dug in and really finished the year out strong.
And so we get to the regional tournament. Drew a tough first round matchup. I mean, out of all the teams that made the just based on size alone, like it was just a tough matchup for you. Did you know that it was going to be tough going in against Campbell County?
We did, and that was the toughest first round draw that we probably could have gotten. And credit to them, they had a game plan coming in, and they stuck to it. And even when we made a little run there to start the third quarter, they didn't deviate from what they were doing. And Coach Johnson does a great job, and he's got a great young nucleus to build around. And it was one of those – there's not a good way to end the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's especially hard in the regional tournament with two seniors that have been as big of a part of a program as any you could think of. But it was one of those – the way the locker rooms were set up at Bourbon County, you could hear the celebration from Campbell County's locker room, and you could – you just knew that they felt like they had slain the dragon.
Yeah.
And right. just in that moment, it was, for me, reflecting – that was exactly us 3 years ago.
Right.
I mean, that run that those girls made, beat Harrison in the first round in overtime, beat Scott High on a three-point shot with 5 or 6 seconds to go up one, and got to a region final before we were supposed to. And I mean, that was Campbell County this season. I mean, they came in, and they were able to get it done, and all the credit to them. And I mean, it's just one of those nights, and we just had trouble getting the ball in the basket.
Well, and you know, I think we were texting. Wes was at the game. Adam was at the game, I think. And you all sent us the score at halftime, and I was like, "Is that? Did you put that in right? Like, is that what the score is?
16-9
Right? Yeah. Like, it's like my goodness. But you know." You could kind of look at that, though, Coach. You know, you could hear their celebrations. While that's awful on the losing side, right? You know, you play sports. There has to be a winner, has to be a loser. But that kind of is like a – I mean, it kind of has to make you feel like they're that excited about knocking us out. Like, we were expected to, you know, like yeah. – I mean, so in kind of a crazy way, it's kind of like a – like a show of respect kind of thing? Like oh, man, like we beat these guys.
It is. And, you know, that's the Northern Kentucky District, we don't really cross paths a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had Bishop Rosser on the regular season schedule, and we've played Scott High in the years past. But it's a very difficult game to get scheduled in the regular season just because of the distance.
Right.
And we didn't play anybody in that district this season. We were fortunate that we wrapped up our district tournament on Wednesday night, and their district final was on Thursday. So we were able to go up there and watch that district final in person. And for me, you can watch all the film you want to, but I really have trouble until I see teams in person putting the film in
right.
proper perspective.
Right.
And when we got up there, Josseria, which I got confirmation on that pronunciation later. Campbell County's leading scorer
yeah.
came out first three possessions, and it's like we hadn't seen her. And she's definitely one of the top players in the region. Good size, good speed, good strength, can knock down shots, can finish at the
from
basket.
Anywhere.
And we knew that was going to be a matchup problem for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey, I don't know if I told her or not. I know I told her mom, had one of her most impressive defensive games of her short career.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she did an excellent job on Josseria in the second half of that game, and was – a big reason why we were able to make the run that we made in the third quarter. With what she did offensively, what shows up in the stat sheet,
sure.
defensively, she was as good, if not better. And I had an opportunity to talk to and get to know Campbell's coach a little bit throughout that process, and talking to him after the game, and he flat out told me his girls, when they saw the draw, were disappointed. They didn't want us right. in the first round. They just wanted to get as far as they could get. And,
gotcha.
And it is a testament to these girls and the type of season they were able to put together and the amount of respect that they've garnered around the region.
Right. So you had said that you hadn't got to see her before. Was she hurt? Is not coming back? You just
we hadn't played them.
Okay.
And we don't really – I mean, you run into some classics and some tournaments where you get to see different teams at different times, and we just have not crossed paths with
okay.
them.
Okay, all
right. Right. The Northern Kentucky teams do stay – I mean, they do well, stay in they, Northern Kentucky for the most part.
They can play 15 to 20 schools within 30 right. minutes of
yeah, them. They play ninth region teams, yeah. you know, pretty much all season long. They'll like bleed down a little bit this way, but not – that there's that much disparity in travel time yeah. in the 10th region when you get all the way up to Bishop and Campbell County and Sky High and all the way down to here, you know, it's you're right. I totally understand. Now, I looked at their schedule and they pretty much played in 9th region for the most part.
Dixie, unless, Rowell, Notre Dame.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, that I don't think that there is a tougher area top to bottom in the state right now than Northern Kentucky
yeah.
for girls basketball. It's deep and it's competitive, and you could be up there and be sitting at 500 and you're going to win in most other areas of the state. They've really got it rolling up there right now, and Cooper's kind of carrying the flag, but I mean, there's a lot of good basketball in Northern Kentucky right now.
And it, not to get away from the subject too much, but is North Kentucky basketball just like North Kentucky sports, period, in the manner of, I'm a soccer guy. They've got all kinds of soccer opportunities up there. Is it the same way with basketball up there? You know, they have many AAU teams and, you know, school teams will play, whatever, in the ninth region up into Cincinnati because it's that close.
I'm sure that's part of it. Now, once you enroll in high school, there are a lot of restrictions on your ability to play outside of the season. And now, up until you get to high school, there really are no restrictions. If you're not playing JV or varsity, there's a ton of opportunities to continue playing and improving and
gotcha.
Getting live action. But I would say that factor is probably more prominent with soccer and volleyball.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot more club opportunities
yeah, sure.
that are not a ton of travel in the area. I'm not sure what you would attribute the basketball part of it to, other than they've got it established and they've made it something appealing top to bottom.
Yeah.
So they're getting girls yeah. interested at a young age, and they get to go watch the team in their neighborhood throughout, and they know those girls, and it just success breeds success.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, in as close to Cincinnati as it is, I mean, it extremely possible that girls might not get to play in Cincinnati, but they could travel across the state line and play in schools like that up there too. Because I mean, we all know school hopping and recruiting, air quotes, you know, kind of happens.
The rules are the rules.
Yeah,
you definitely get that, and I think that there is a lot of appeal to our one class system as opposed to what you
yeah.
I want to say that Ohio has more. I don't know exactly what the restrictions are, but I think there are more restrictions on their high school teams than Kentucky has, and I want to say that maybe they're playing a 24 game schedule as opposed to a 30 game schedule. Now I might be off on that, but I'm that number sticks out in my head for some reason. But
gotcha.
There's definitely crossover, and you see it. I notice it the most in football. one of the Northern Kentucky football teams puts it together and gets it rolling, they're going to attract people.
Yeah.
And yeah. It might be from this side of the river. It might be from the other side of the river. I think that's a natural byproduct of any kind of success. You start putting it together and people want to be a part of it. I think that's a natural progression for a lot of schools. Cooper hasn't had a ton of transfers, and I have a ton of respect for Coach Holthaus at Cooper and the way that they play and the way that they do it. But you're going to get some organically, and it's part of it, and I mean, it's no different here. But Northern Kentucky, and back to what got us started down this path, Campbell County has a ton of options. And I mean, you look at our scheduling. It's been very difficult for us to schedule in-region teams over the last couple of years. And again, that's flattering to a degree. It's also really difficult to a degree. And we can't really go – we have a lot of trouble going locally outside of the region.
But you also are making a schedule. I mean, you go back and look at your schedule. I mean, you're making a schedule that you know that's going to be one of the top schedules in the state. I mean, just all there is to it. I mean, you all played going through the Sweet 16. Did you all play Owsley County this year?
We played them this summer. We didn't play them.
Okay, so you played Owsley County in the summer. You played Russell. You played Franklin County. Did you all play Anderson County this year?
No.
Okay. But and then you played Clark County, of course. You played Cooper.
Played Butler last summer.
Anyways, you're playing teams. I mean, you played.
That's practically half of the Sweet 16.
You're playing. You beat Cooper. You beat a good Ashland team. I mean, you're making a schedule that you know I'm going to be playing majority of either regional final or Sweet 16 teams for a reason.
Yeah. Well, and that. Given the district that we're in, and I don't really see that there's a whole lot of choice as far as being prepared for competing just within the district. And I think that gets lost on a lot of people as far as if we didn't play any of those teams, we're going to play a top five team three, possibly four times.
Yeah.
And not too many people are going to do that.
Right.
And
right.
Then you throw in another top five with Cooper, and I mean, you're littered with the top ten. And I mean, we played a game in Bowling Green against one of the top teams in Tennessee and Central Magnet, and then Breckenridge County got beaten their regional championship, and we played them down there. Trying to think if there's anybody else. We had Bethlehem on the schedule. It got snowed out.
That's right.
But yeah, there's definitely a lot of challenges, and it's a lot of different challenges.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, you got teams with bigs, you got teams with no bigs, and a lot of guards, and you got just trying to piece it together and make it work, and find things that may work here and don't work there, and just try to be able to put your best foot forward when it matters.
So before we go over to, as Adam calls them, the young pups, give us a short what the seniors has meant to you and this program on their way out.
That's a tough one to put into words.
We don't want to take your banquet speeches either.
Right.
Which, that's tomorrow night. But, I mean, this group really – everyone wants to play at a young age and be involved at a young age. Mm-hmm. And this group was not only playing and involved, they were largely targeted on every scouting report. I mean, from the seventh grade through their senior year, for 6 years, they were drawing the best defenders, and mm-hmm. they were a big part of any type of strategy that was involved against us. That in itself is a lot to put on a 13-year-old.
Right.
And just the fact that they were able to endure and persevere through some of those struggles early on as 7th and 8th graders. I mean, we got beat by 50 in the first round of the district their 8th grade year, my first year coaching with the girls. And to go from getting beat by 50 in the first round of the district to getting to a region final a year later, mm-hmm. I mean, it just shows you the kind of grit and willpower that that group possessed. And they maintained it and really led the program from the cellar to being a program that's back to where it's recognizable around the state.
Right. So we've got some cliff notes from Adam. Since he's not here, I'll just read the cliff notes, and then we'll see what your reactions are to Adam's cliff notes. Okay. First for Bailey Warner, game gets better every single year. Footwork in the post is next level. High energy, big time talker. Doesn't shy away from the moment. Can play inside or outside. And then he put the on here, you just joined the Vision Elite 2027 AAU team. Yep. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So, do you think that's accurate? You think he's missing something? By all means, throw him under the bus, because he ain't here.
No, I think he's pretty much got it on. Also, shout out to Adam.
Yeah, we were told to shout out Adam.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Can't be okay. Here.
And how much did he pay you for that?
Right. You don't have to be nice.
No.
He told us that they're Cane's and Chick-fil-A fans, so he's probably buying them Cane's and Chick-fil-A.
They probably have their order coming.
Yeah. Adam, that's so sneaky. You take the night off, and you get them to come give a shout-out.
I can't get there right yet.
What do you prefer, Chick-fil-A or Cane's?
That's horrible.
You can only eat one the rest of your life. What are you picking?
Oh.
Probably
Chick-fil-A,
because
I feel like Chick-fil-A has
just
more
the cane sauce is the best for me.
And the toast.
The toast is good.
The toast is really good.
I personally think Chick-fil-A's overrated.
I don't know. I'm going to say Cane's.
I'm going to say Cane's too.
I'll change my answer.
All right, tell us what he put on Sophie.
So we got Sophie Fouch, one word, grit. She doesn't mind to do do the dirty work. She takes pride in it. Her basketball IQ is next level. The 50-50 balls turn into 80-20 when Sophie is around. Two-sport athlete, plays travel volleyball.
I would agree with that. I mean, because every time I watched a game this year, both of these girls were always in it, and Sophie fought after everything. I mean, never failed. It was Adam was like, yep, there's Fouch, there's Sophie again, and it's like constantly.
I will say this. I've known Sophie since she was this big, because my
baby,
because my wife, my wife used to babysit her, and I'll tell a story. She walked out. She walked out the front door, and something happened, and she went nose first onto our sidewalk, and from here down, just complete scab.
Sounds like y'all weren't watching her very
she
well.
She cried for about
lawsuit. It's on video
cried,
now.
She cried for about 10 seconds.
Yep.
At that point, you kind of and now you see how she plays. You kind of go,
Are you trying to take credit for that?
Listen,
Wes, Fouch family. Wes is responsible for her toughness and her grit.
At that point, she probably got a glimpse of the neighbors.
But I will say, I mean, look, Reagan has been a person that's always been brought up in basketball just in the manner of
grit,
and how she goes and gets rebounds during the course of her career. And I don't think anybody thought that might not happen again. Her size, her grit, and that's completely and utterly wrong. We have three more years of someone like that because it doesn't matter. If Leah Macy came here, if it didn't snow, we'd have seen Leah Macy and Sophie going, no, that, give me that ball somehow or another. It's pretty incredible. So do you think that's pretty accurate?
Yeah.
And did he leave anything out?
I think he got it all.
Well, you know, Reagan got hurt towards the end of the season and had a concussion and was not able to finish out the season. And, you know, Bailey was the fill-in, right? She took her spot right on the floor, and you saw it immediately. I mean, it was like not really losing anybody there. And the difference that I saw in that is Bailey brought the offense with it, too. It's not that Reagan couldn't score. That wasn't what her game was. But the biggest thing I saw was, you know, Bailey brings the rebounds, but she was also dropping 17, 18, 20 points a game as well. And there was about a three-week stretch there that you were in the conversation for Athlete of the Week every week. So it was very impressive there at the end of the season. And then, of course, you know, being named to the All-Region team, you obviously, you know, earned it at that point that you had to get that. So it won't be the last time, I'm sure. But the cupboard's not bare, Coach. The future looks bright, right?
It is. And just their willingness to put in the time and put in the work. And it's, I really think that they're going to be great leaders, both vocally and by example. I know that they started working out last night.
Yep, last night.
And working on just getting stronger physically and doing things that they've got control of right now. And I think a little break's good for all of us, but they are already looking ahead and doing things that they feel like will benefit them the most next season.
Are you going to play volleyball also, Bailey?
In the summer or like school volleyball?
School volleyball.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, do you encourage girls, hey, go play volleyball, go play track and stuff like that? Because, you know, it kind of keeps them going. And
I would probably go a step further than encourage. I would say I prefer it.
Yeah.
Nothing against anybody who doesn't. I just think that it doesn't matter what sport your focus is. It is healthy to have the opportunity to miss it. Like, you need to get away from it at some point. And I think that there is a huge benefit to remaining competitive.
Right.
But not necessarily remaining in the same arena year round.
Well, and you know, obviously volleyball, for example, it's similar skills, but they're different. So like you get a chance to rest your basketball muscles, so to speak. Like you get, you know, to focus on a different skill set to do different things.
Yeah, I mean, that timing that goes into volleyball, and that's the thing that most people don't know about Dad is he had the first volleyball team. He coached the first volleyball team at Whitesburg and Breathitt and Montgomery County.
I knew that he coached the first volleyball team at Montgomery County.
And I've been around volleyball almost as long as I've been around basketball.
Gotcha.
But just having the opportunity, I'm a firm believer in absence makes the heart grow fonder. Yeah. And I do believe that it's important to give yourself a break no matter what the focus is. And that doesn't mean that you're just going to hang it up for 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a big difference between getting in the gym and getting up a few shots and grinding through skill work
right.
for 12 months.
Right.
And I mean, volleyball, you've got the timing and anticipation and the lateral agility, and there's a ton of translation that is beneficial. Mm-hmm. And that was my third sport in high school was tennis. And it's like, it was competitive. I played hard, but it wasn't the same type of grind as football and basketball.
Right, right.
But it kept me moving, kept me out of the house, and kept me competitive. And I don't ever feel like I was sacrificing anything basketball-wise by playing the other two. It was completely different. And I was ready and looking forward to basketball when basketball rolled around. And I think that's important.
So we're going to now ask you all some questions, so you're going to be on the spot, okay? So you all both logged your first major varsity minutes this year. Tell us how you think you did.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? I'll
go first. I think we both did pretty good. I don't think either of us expected to start at the beginning of the year, and so I think we handled that very well. And so just being, like, thrown out there, I feel like we handled our roles pretty well. So you go over.
I can't remember what game it was. There was a game before Christmas where I'm sure Sophie had started, but it's like you get into games and you're messing with lineups throughout the game and trying to find what works that particular night. And I can't remember which game it was. It was a tight game, and I don't remember if it was a timeout or what. And one of the assistants mentioned getting Sophie a blow late in the game, and it's like, why would we take her out? Like, no. Like that, and I mean, that's just a tribute to the way she played. And I don't know that I've ever seen an individual buy in and excel at a specific role within the team concept as quickly as Sophie did this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bailey was right there with her, and I mean, like you were saying earlier, Bailey's offensive abilities were a big plus coming in off the bench for part of the season, and then huge down the stretch as a starter. Mm-hmm. And I would say that they both wildly exceeded any expectation that you would have for anyone coming in that is in their first season of significant varsity playing time.
Right.
Bailey? So I think we did pretty good. I mean, we didn't have really – I don't think we were really expecting to start or anything, like Sophie said, but I feel like we did pretty good. It was kind of nerve-wracking at some moments, but overall – pretty good.
You played some varsity minutes last year. Mm-hmm. and you did get more varsity minutes, obviously, this year. There was a consistency about you, obviously, down the stretch. There was a switch that kind of turned on. Sophie didn't log very many varsity minutes last year, but this year it was just like, okay, here you go. It was kind of, you know, put you into the fire and say, and learn. What can you pinpoint a game when you felt like I can do this? You know, I can get right in there and fight with anybody that's under the basket or you, there was a point somewhere in the season that, because everybody could kind of see it. Can you pinpoint when it was?
I can pinpoint a play. I'm interested to see what you think.
I'm trying to think of the games that we played like in the season, like earlier. Towards the middle of the season.
Like before or after Christmas?
Was it before your all's tournament, or was it down in Scottsville, Allen County? Or was it after that?
I think it was after that, but I can't really pinpoint it. Can you, Coach?
Coach remembers.
I will. The play that she made when it was one of those, oh, what are you doing? And late in the Cooper game.
Oh.
You drove baseline, and I was like,
oh, I know.
No. Yes.
She going?
I know.
And she threw a laser diagonal to Shay, and Shay knocked down a three, and it's like, okay, we're going to be all right. And I mean, that's the single play that sticks out for me with Sophie.
Yeah.
And with, I'll let Bailey go first for hers.
I don't even know.
I don't know if there's like a particular game, but I feel like after our Christmas tournament, we faced so much adversity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we just needed to, like, I needed to turn something on for me to play that role that I needed to fill.
There was a lot of games at the very first of the season. It was front loaded. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a lot of games that was like, whoa, we're playing a lot of good teams at this point. So, you know, when you get past that point, you kind of go, okay, you know, I can feel a comfort zone. I can feel that because of that, I've gotten better. And could you feel that, you know, you all went down to, let's see here, in the Allen County tournament, well, you won all your games down in Allen County except for
Franklin.
Against Franklin. So, you know, you could just kind of see that switch turned on.
Yeah, well, and I would even go in the last season with Bailey. And for Bailey, it's a lot of God-given factors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got good length. She can handle it. She can knock down an open shot. She can go in there, bang, and get a rebound. She can guard multiple positions. And just her versatility allowed, from a coaching perspective, it really didn't matter what spot she needed to go into.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that she was going to have a chance. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't expect it, especially as an eighth grader, you don't necessarily expect it to necessarily go in there and change the game. Your hope at that point is just to maintain.
Yeah.
Just to, like, you don't have to go in there and win it, but be nice if we don't go in there and lose it. And I thought she did an excellent job with that last season, and she was able to do that coming into this season. And another thing for these two in particular, it's the first time in my short career that we kept them playing the JV schedule throughout the season.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm sure at times that was a struggle for both of them, especially late with the minutes that they were logging in the varsity game. But having done it both ways and seen it done both ways, I thought it was really important. Sometimes when you eliminate that JV schedule and you're only playing varsity, your successes are fewer and further between. And I thought it was important for both of them to have opportunities to go out there in the JV game and still have a consistent feeling of, we're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And build that confidence and maintain that confidence throughout the year. And I never, they may say different, but I never felt like it affected their stamina, or I didn't feel like they weren't able to do something in the varsity game because they had played the JV game. But I just thought mentally it was more important to maintain that confidence than it was to necessarily be exclusively varsity players.
Right. I mean, because obviously young players, extra minutes, extra reps, extra game time, things that you can't simulate in practice is only going to be beneficial.
Oh yeah, and you look at the miles they put on last season with they played JV, or the, let me back up. They played the middle school season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they played the JV games. They played a complete middle school volleyball season.
That's right.
And then Bailey down the stretch was getting varsity minutes, and it's like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's – we had the conversation going into it, and we had a couple this year that probably could have helped us on the JV that ended up just concentrating on the volleyball. And the last thing I want to do with anyone in middle school is burn them out. And going from basketball practice straight into volleyball practice, or volleyball practice straight into basketball practice, or leaving one practice to go to another game, or that wears on you.
Yeah.
And I mean, they never really mentioned it or brought it up, but we don't have our head in the sand. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it takes a toll just keeping that type of schedule, and I thought they both did a great job with it last year, and I thought it really paid off for both of them this year.
So going into next season, as we wind down, what do you all feel like you need to work on the most to improve yourself going into next season and throughout the rest of your career?
Well, I feel like next season will be like a whole different team because right. those seniors were so like prompt like in the program, and they're gone now, so we have to find our own identity, and so we have to find the way that we play best. So
individually, what do you want to work on?
Dunking.
Yes.
Listen, I know one thing you can do, because you banged a three in the regional. And I was like, where's that been all year long? I mean, she struck that. And I was like, okay, Sophie can hit threes.
In rhythm. What about you? Knocked one down too.
Yeah. I think I want to work on getting more comfortable playing around the perimeter. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really comfortable inside. Mm-hmm. And if I work on being able to handle the ball and even shooting, I feel like that could make me a better overall player.
So. Gotcha.
I mean, you look at, we've talked about the senior class. You look at the amount of points that are now gone. That's going to have to come from somewhere, right? So are those roles that both of you think that you can step into and you can kind of help fill that void on, who's going to score the rock?
I think so. I feel like I should take more of my opportunities to the basket because I pass them up a lot, but I think I can probably do it next year.
Oh, I think this group has the potential to be a much more difficult scout. And you're not going to pull up the stats, I don't think, and say, if we stop these two, we're going to win the game.
Right.
And that's a blessing and a curse. But I definitely think for both of them, confidence and consistency, handling the ball and knocking down open shots. And I think for our group across the board, strength is always a factor. And just collectively being able to guard the ball and keep the ball in front of us and giving ourselves opportunities to go get those loose balls. And
right.
I think it's going to take the village.
Yeah.
And I think that these two are in a great spot to lead that charge.
I was going to say, I think they could definitely be cornerstones. So as we start, you know, we've talked plenty about this past season. As we start looking towards next season, what do you guys hope for? Like, what do you hope going into next season? You know, high school basketball for everybody now on the girls' side is over. You know, what's the focus going into next season?
You go first.
Okay. This time. I think strength for us. I want to be Clark County.
Yes, I'd like to be Clark County.
And make it to the region championship. I feel like we can do it. If we just put the work in, we can be able to make it. And even win. Sorry.
I know as a team this year, we tried to start playing faster, and we kept, like, working on that all the time. But I feel like we got away from it for a little while. And I feel like next season we should try to stay with it and stay consistent with that throughout the whole season.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes,
so you just set yourself up to run and run.
Yeah.
And
I was going
to say. And run and run.
what is it? Noah Richardson used to run the 40 minutes of hail, coach. Is that what we're going to do?
I think there's different versions of that. And she's right. I feel like we've started a couple of seasons that way. And it's like whether it's depth or whatever coming down the stretch, you get to a point to where you can run yourself out of games. Mm. And in a perfect world, I would like to see us get a rebound and make a 20 to 25 foot outlet pass down the floor, right, and see what you got.
Yeah.
And be able to get after it defensively and force some turnovers and be able to, you're not going to win games like that in the first quarter or even the first half, but you start seeing it third quarter. And that's – Patino had a quote been more than a couple now when he was at Louisville post game. They were playing like a UNC Wilmington or somebody like that. That was really tight game at halftime. And one of the reporters was like, "Coach, were you concerned that it was just a two-point game at halftime?" And he's like, "No, it's still 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that type of mentality, it's like, we're not trying to win this thing in the first quarter.
There's not a single game that's won or lost in the first quarter.
No.
But if you're able to do that and do it consistently and be able to maintain it,
yeah,
you can definitely win some games you probably shouldn't on the stat sheet just by wearing people down.
Right. So – Bailey, you were our Athlete of the Week last week, so congratulations on that. I told you not to get used to that design because we're going to change it up because you can't – you got to be able to wear them year after year after year and it not – people be like, "You're wearing the same shirt again." So it's going to be changed up. Sophie, I totally expect to see you getting Athlete of the Week.
Hope so.
Multiple times. You know, I mean, you talk about working on that dunking. I'm telling you what, you pull a dunk off next year, I don't care what the rest of your stat line looks like or what anybody else did, you will be Athlete of the Week for the rest of the week.
2 points, yeah. Six turnovers.
She keeps climbing those six-footers for rebounds. She might run into one.
So, this week, our Athlete of the Week, our Chemsoft Athlete of the Week is Jace Mays, who pitched a complete game, quality game last week for the Montgomery County Baseball Indians. And our Tutu's Dog of the Week is, and Darren's not here to say it because everybody's what? Sean, you can say it.
Because every athlete's got a little dog in them.
Right. You don't say it as well as Darren. But is Reagan Oney. We've talked about her a few times on the show. She had two home runs last week. So her homer counter, is it two? She's trying to set the state record. I think 25 is what she said. So she's trying to set that. But before we leave, Coach, I got a question specifically for you. This coming week, we're going to start our Cartoon Character Smackdown Tournament on our Facebook page. So you look like a guy that enjoyed Saturday morning cartoons when your dad wasn't kicking you out of the house to go play something. Who is your favorite cartoon character?
I don't know of it.
His shirt. Hey, he got his.
The one that I probably watched the most growing up was Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay.
But the first one that popped in my head was Doug, and that's probably outside the box.
My guy. No, he's my favorite. My guy.
If Adam was here, he would have lost it. Yes!
Yeah.
Doug Funny!
Yeah.
And they're both in the tournament, right?
They are.
Yeah.
So, girls, you're not going to get out of this. I know you all probably have, like, iCarly or something like that. Maybe even something new.
That's not a cartoon.
It's not, but... So, favorite cartoon. Don't try to act like you still don't watch cartoons. Everybody still watches cartoons.
I'm going to go with either Tom and Jerry or Phineas and Ferb.
Ooh, those are two good ones.
I watch Phineas and Ferb a lot. I also watch Peppa Pig.
Okay.
And SpongeBob.
We're on a Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig is not on the tournament.
Peppa Pig is not, but everybody else you all mentioned... is at least represented.
Yep. I'd say Peppa Pig and Bluey are probably two of our most consistent.
Listen, right now. Bluey makes me feel like a terrible parent. Do you feel the same way when you watch it? I'm like, I need to be more like Bluey's parents.
There are definitely a few episodes that make you go,
I handled that wrong.
Maybe not.
Most of the time I'm like, how
that's
would
Bluey's
dad?
We live in reality, right. And that's a cartoon.
Well, you know, that's... My wife gives me a hard time because she's always talking about a lot of these Disney characters that she grew up with. I didn't have the Disney Channel until I was in high school, until we moved to Mount Sterling.
Yeah.
It's like Whitesburg and Breathitt. I don't know what cable we were on, but it didn't include Disney. So
you didn't have remotes. You were over there clicking the channel.
Coach, I'd be like, Dustin, go change the channel. Yes, sir.
Definitely had some of those.
All right. Well, guys, well, thank you so much for coming out this week. We're going to, we appreciate it. As the season draws closer, we're definitely going to have you all back on. Volleyball's coming up, so maybe you can come on with Coach Craycraft, right? And we definitely want to hear how your all summer has gone and travel ball and all the things that you are going to do. So thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Caitlin.
What's up?
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad I finally got to be on this podcast.
And it was my idea.
I know it.
I mean, I sure wish you had a father that was a part of this.
Right? I mean, never got to be on here for Athlete of the Week. Nothing from when I was on the bowling team. But I'm finally here.
Well, and we fought for you all the time. He was like, I don't want to give it to her.
I appreciate that.
Almost every week, I was like, Caitlin needs to be Athlete of the Week. And he would say, no.
Wow. Yeah.
So, we brought you on.
We didn't want to show favoritism, is what it was.
I tried to. So, we brought you on because you have a new endeavor that you started this week, and we wanted you to be able to share it with the hundreds of thousands of people that we have watch.
Terrifying, but yeah.
I mean, I think 17 countries there, and anyone told me last week, 17 countries, might be up to 18 this week.
That's amazing.
So, tell us what you started this week.
I actually started my own podcast this week.
Okay.
I released my first episode yesterday.
Okay.
And it's called Surrender Your Control Podcast. So it's basically it's a Christian podcast, and we go on there and we kind of talk about things that you might not know when you come to faith. Little things about the Bible, little things about just being a Christian. You know, we have some guests on there. Actually, we had a guest on for the first episode. But we just get to get together and learn more about God so that we can be better witnesses for Him.
Okay. So your first episode was about a mission trip.
It was.
That you just were on.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some cliff notes?
Of course. Absolutely. So we just went on, it's called Beach Reach. We went to Panama City, but there's actually two locations. So there's one in Texas too. But basically, Beach Reach is there the whole month of March. And certain BCMs from colleges will go, and we go around and we give kind of shuttle rides, or people walk on the street teams, serve pancakes, and we're there to just love on people, share the gospel. Mostly people leaving bars, but it's not always the case. But it was an incredible experience. I actually got to help lead two people to Christ.
Absolutely,
in,
it's awesome.
In my vans. Praise God, because that was, I mean, walking into it, I was like, I mean, yeah, I'll talk to some people about the gospel, but, I mean, getting to witness that was one of the best experiences of my life.
I mean, you hear all the time, Pastor Grant, Pastor John, and other, you know, they're like, you know, when it comes time, and it's like, you don't have to worry about what to say, or like, because truly, God will give you the words.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that has to be like a nervous thing. Like, it's a complete stranger.
Yeah.
So, you're like, hey, you want to ride?
Yeah.
Jump on in here. Oh, by the way, let's talk about God.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, were you met with much resistance?
Actually, no. We were trained, and in our trainings, we did it for a couple weeks. And I had this mindset that we were going to get there, and they were just going to not want anything to do with us. I think we see that a lot on social media now. Yeah. It's just Christianity is very hated on. And so walking into that week, I was dead set that this was, honestly, I was like, nothing's going to happen. But most people that got in these vans, they were so interested because we also realized there was a lot of people who had never heard the gospel.
Right.
We met a lot of Catholics. And so we got to talk about, that's true.
Yeah.
And we, it was actually crazy because we got to see, there's a lot of different type of Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also were taught that in our training. But it was definitely like people were just would, some people would get in your van and be like, can you talk to me about Jesus? And you're like,
sure.
Absolutely. Sure. Let's do it. And then of course you'd have some where it was just a good time. And yeah. The rides were so short, you just laugh along with them while they were there.
So, have you all seen the show Cash Cab?
Yes.
No. So you've never seen that? So they get into a cab and then all of a sudden
it's like light a
starts
game
going
show.
Off, they do a trivia show and then you win money. So you don't have Cash Cab, you have Christ Cab.
Yeah.
But the caveat is on Cash Cab is better is if you miss like three questions, you just get dropped off wherever you are.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
So unlike Cash Cab, you all at least took them to their destination.
Right. Christ Cab.
Yeah.
We're gonna
patent and trademark that.
Okay.
No, forget everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edit that out.
That's the next brand. So you said BCM a minute ago.
Yeah.
We don't know what that means.
Right, I got you. It's a Baptist
She doesn't know what it
means. Ministry, campus ministry, Baptist campus ministry. Sorry. So basically, I attended EKU this past semester, which is Eastern Kentucky University.
Okay, thank you.
I should put that out there. I attended there, and so it's kind of like church on school. So it's kind of like the FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but it's there for colleges. And we have like Amplify, so it's like church on Tuesdays. You have family groups, which there's Bible studies. But it's basically just a really good community. A lot of people go because they don't have churches because they're usually out of state or something like that.
Right. You said something just a minute ago, and you talked about social media.
Yeah.
And I would say mainstream media as a whole, if you pay attention a lot to that, Christianity is looked at in a negative light. And that's just because a lot of times it fits narratives that is trying to be pushed.
Yeah.
But I've heard something a long time ago, and it is true, and I think you are, what you're saying is validation of that. A lot of times, the only Bible or church that people get is by watching us, by seeing us, you know, by seeing the people that are Christians, what we do. So, I mean, did you find, like, the ones that you encountered that had never heard the Bible or never heard anything about God, I mean, did you find that they were looking at you like, so then tell me what this is. Like, let me see how you interact, how you live, how you do things.
Yeah.
And see if I even want to be part of this Jesus thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we had a lot of people who they'd get in and be like, so what are y'all doing down here? And we're just like, oh, yeah, we're just trying to, like, love on people and serve you all. And they're like, you're doing this for free? And I'm like, yeah. Like, they're like, why are you doing that for your spring break? Like, that doesn't sound fun at all. And we're like, well, we're just trying to share the love of Jesus because Jesus has loved so much on us.
Right.
And so you start telling people about the gospel and they're like, really? Like, that's what this is? And you're like, yeah, that's all we're here doing.
Right.
Like, we're just here to love on people. And so, yeah, I mean, some people were just mind blown by it. Yeah.
So I know your dad may not admit this, but there was a little apprehension, right?
I
mean, 100%. You know, you're going all the way to the beach.
Yeah.
By yourself.
A little bit.
He doesn't get to go with you.
Yeah.
You know, there's some worries. You probably had some of those worries, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what was your biggest fear?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't want to say I was sheltered. My parents definitely didn't shelter me, but
I was
very much protected. I had never been around a bar. I had never encountered anyone intoxicated. I had never smelled alcohol in my whole life. And so I just remember I was like, I'm going to go into this week. I'm like, these people aren't going to remember this. Because, I mean, I had no idea what it's like to be drunk, obviously. And so that was my biggest fear, yeah. was just like, my dad kind of made me think I was going to get kidnapped. But I knew God was going to protect me.
Absolutely. I mean,
she's riding around downtown Miami.
It was not Miami. It was Panama City.
But I mean, in a big van,
the Christ cab. Yeah. We've already called it that.
And so the funny thing about it is Jake, who's the the pastor. I know him, and so he told me, he goes, she's going to be fine. She's going to have two guys with her at all times. I said, Jake, that don't make me feel any better, dude.
Well, yeah, and thankfully, I think Jake took that into account because I was never on street team. I was only in vans, yeah. And one night I was in the van with Jake. But obviously, God used me still in those vans. But yeah, I've talked about. So when I kind of went to college, I wanted to do everything. Yeah. I wanted to try everything. I wanted to go everywhere. And so all of 2024, I keep telling people I've had a trip every single month.
Yeah.
And this was my second big trip without my parents. So I think he's big a little time. Sad. I think he's a little sad.
Well, it happened. So, I mean, is it something that you hope to get to do again?
I go back and forth. I was talking to one of my best friends about it, and it's a situation where it really just depends on what next year looks like at that time. I definitely could see myself going again, but I could also see myself not going again.
Right.
You know, it's kind of just if God calls me there at that moment.
Do you think if you do ever go again, would you like to be on the street team?
No.
Why not?
No. Just like walking around or just like driving by it, I was like, I just could we all struggle with spiritual warfare the whole week. Everyone did.
Yeah.
And it would literally hit you out of nowhere. And the devil was working hard on all of us. And absolutely. I just think he was working a little too hard on me with the street teams because I just could not find the strength to be like, yeah, I want to go on street teams.
See, I think that would be my jam.
I think
I would be all about that.
Yeah. One of my best friends we went with, she went on street team for like a few minutes, cause we like split up half the night. It's a long story, but, she said just like when you're actually on the street, walking the strip of Panama City, she's like, you can feel the darkness in mm-hmm. this world. And she goes, I can only imagine the amount of peace that these people are feeling getting into our vans saying, okay, I know I'm getting home safely.
Yeah.
And I just thought like that really opened my mind about it.
Okay, so we just dropped your first episode, right?
Yeah.
You just dropped it mm-hmm. big time. I mean, that in itself is a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely.
It took us 4 years. It only took her 3 weeks.
Right. A little more driven. So what does episode two look like?
That's a great question. I was talking to my discipline yesterday. She was actually the one that was on my first episode. Her name's Anna, one of my best friends in the whole entire world. But we were talking about it, and I said I thought it was either going to be about contentment or it was going to be about God's holiness. So contentment is my word for the year. I've actually never had a word for the year, but this was the year I sat down and was like, okay, like I'm going to have a word for 1 year and stick to it. And I chose contentment, just being like present with God wherever I am right at that moment. I'm going to praise him. So either talking about that or the holiness of God, because I got to go to Passion in January, and that was the whole 3 days was just talking about the holiness of God. And even Beach Reach, we talked about the holiness of God. And I think a lot of times we say, you know, Jesus is obviously our friend. He knows we're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But we also serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
And that is a standard that we like put ourselves on. And so realizing like the commitments that we make to him and the promise we make to him is very much important.
Right. I mean, you see right there on our gold painted microphone, we have a little Jesus.
Little Jesus.
Because Pastor John says all the time, a little Jesus goes a long way, right?
100%.
So, yeah, and I think you're accurate. Like, we do kind of paint him and put him in this little box. Like, okay,
yeah.
There's God. God's
yeah.
right here. But, like, his power, his magnitude, his presence mm-hmm. is everywhere,
yeah.
like omnipresent, right?
Yeah.
Like he's all over the place.
And I mean, what drove her to do this was, you know, with the BCM and Anna and her family group and all of this stuff. I mean, the fact that she's not still at EKU, but she's still heavily involved in all of this
oh, yeah.
is the draw, right? But we've had several conversations. She's like, man, I really wish I would have known this when I started becoming a believer. And, you know, she's been in church since she was a baby. Yeah. So we raised her in church. Right. Cassie was a little bit older when we started going to church with her. But
it explains a lot.
It does. It really does. But she's always been engulfed in learning about Jesus and stuff like that. So the kind of basis of the podcast is ultimately trying to teach those things that she wished she knew.
Right.
So it targets new believers, but I'm an old believer and she teaches me stuff,
right.
You know, and one of the cool things that she's going to do on the podcast is she's going to have a mailbag segment, so to speak. We're working on a name, but it's like you can send in a question.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't understand this. And then, so we'll highlight that the following week. It gives her some time. She'll research it because she's already done that. I've tested her. I was like, hey, why do they do this? And then she sends me a text at 12:30 in the morning, like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what is that? She goes, oh, you asked me a question the other day. That's the answer. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. A little bit, just backstory, because he's talking about that. So, I actually accepted a job this summer at Crossing.
I was going to ask you about that.
So
tell us about Crossing real fast before we go deeper into it.
It's a church camp in Baghdad, Kentucky. There's multiple campuses, but we go to Baghdad, Kentucky. That's where I'm working. I have been 5 years now, I think is what I went my eighth grade year. And I talked about the first night I was in the bed at camp, I knew I was going to be here the summer of my freshman year. I just knew it. I knew that's where God had placed me. And so I had prayed about it since that night every single day for 6 years. And I just accepted a job there this summer in January. And so growing up, like I said, I was raised in church, but I went to Sunday school and I was like, yeah, I know Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I know Noah built an ark. I knew all these things, but I did not know like I just didn't know the in and outs. And so I was so convicted because I was afraid I was going to get to Crossings and this kid was going to run up to me, like, ask me this big old question. I was just going to be like, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. And so I made that commitment to God and I said, okay, Lord, like, just teach me what I need to know this year and I'll be present with you and I'll just be a better witness for you.
Right.
So that's kind of what like started the whole like, man, I wish somebody would have told me that kind of thing. So.
Well, cool. Well, I have not had a chance to listen yet, but here's the promise I'm going to make you. I'm going to listen to it, and Sean, Wes, and Darren will tell you how big a deal that is because I have yet to listen to one of our shows on my own. They forced me to listen to a show or two.
Oh, okay.
But by riding in the same vehicle, I had no choice.
Fair enough.
But I've never listened to one on my own, so I'm going to listen to your podcast just because I'm interested.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Oh, dear.
We're getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah.
I would like for you to close us in prayer.
Of course. Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right.
That just shook his head. He's a whoop. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight. Lord, I thank you for this podcast, both of these podcasts, actually. I thank you for the lessons that are going to be taught. God, I just thank you for each and every one of these men. I know that they've been a really big, important aspect of my life. God, I ask that you continue to work in each and every one of us. Allow us to grow closer to you. Allow us to be better witnesses for you. God, just protect us and just allow us to love you a little more every single day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Well, guys, there you have it. We got a double dose. Not only did you get Coach High with Bailey and Sophie, you got Caitlin, and your podcast is Surrender
Your Control.
Surrender Your Control. Is it on all podcast platforms?
Currently, it's on Spotify.
Just Spotify. Do yourself a favor. How long is your first episode?
37 minutes.
37. That's a short listen compared to some of the stuff that we drop when we get on our nonsense. So go out, download it off Spotify, give it a listen. So that was this week's episode of our Community Trust Bank Coach's Corner, presented by the From Corner to Corner podcast. If you haven't already, go on out, give us a like on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube. Remember to help us promote our Coach's Corner show, our ChemSoft Athlete of the Week program, and our Menifee County Brent. Dang it, I said it wrong. I looked at it, I knew I was going to say it wrong.
Brent.
Brent Wehunt's Kentucky Farm Bureau Athlete of the Month program.
Brent.
We do what we do for our and our surrounding communities.
Community.
And our teams and our coaches and our community and our students and our community.
Go community.
They deserve it. We'll catch you next week.
Stay safe, friends.
Hey, everyone. This is Sean with the From Corner to Corner podcast. I'd like to take a moment to thank all of our sponsors. We have Community Trust Bank, who sponsors our studio here on North Maysville. Chemsoft, who is our sponsor of our Athlete of the Week. Tutu Sweet Treats, who sponsors our Dog of the Week. CRC Renovations, Kentucky Realty Group, Jacobs Auto Body, Brett Wehunt's Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, sponsor of our Athlete of the Month in Menifee County, and then our newest sponsor, Kelwell Commissary and Simply Secured, who sponsors our From Corner to Corner Road Show. Thank you all for making all of this happen, and we appreciate all of your support.
The Moco Four Horsemen would like to thank you for listening to From Corner to Corner. Be sure to go out and follow us on Twitter, on TikTok, on Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube. Whatever podcast platform that you listen to us on, be sure to go out and give us a 5-star review. Thanks as always, and we look forward to seeing you next week.